Right. Good morning. Today's daf is daf mem in Menachos. One of the most classic discussions regarding the Tchilas Betzitzis is going to be taking place today. We start the Gemara and daf Lamed Tes. Basically, I'm going to start again from the beginning of the sugya, which is on the towards the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, starting with the words of Amar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi. Okay, the topic of discussion basically is going to be like this. Again, this is one of the things I introduced in the beginning of the whole sugya of the fourth parak of Menachos, and this is one of the centerpieces of Tchelis. The mitzvah of Tchelis requires that I attach two blue strings onto my beged. And not just two blue strings. Again, it gets a little more complicated because not everyone agrees with Rashi and Tosfos. Some people say that's one string. Some people say that's a half a string. But again, I'm just going to present the Gemara as Rashi and Tosfos does. So there's a mitzvah to attach two blue strings to my beged. These two blue strings are called tchelas, right? That's the name of the color. They're dyed a blue. And we also know that tchelas has to be made out of wool. Meaning those two strings are absolutely made out of wool. No negotiation, there's no discussion about that. That's clear. Okay. In addition to the two blue strings, there's also two white strings that are attached to the tchelas. And those two white strings could be made out of wool, but in theory could be made out of other garments as well. The beged itself, the garment itself, could be made out of wool and could be made out of other garments as well. The big discussion that we're going to be having today is as follows. First of all, are other garments obligated in tzitzis? Meaning if I don't make a garment out of wool, but I make it out of linen, if I make it out of cotton, or if I make it out of silk, or we're going to go through a host of other different types of garments. So are they required in tzitzis altogether? Okay, so that's question number one, which is going to be a big discussion coming up in today's daf. Are other garments obligated in tzitzis? Issue number two, which is also going to be the main part of today's discussion, is going to be that when I put wool and linen together and I fix it together, so I've just created shatness. And we know that one of the prohibitions in the Torah is that you're not allowed to wear shatness. Shatness means that if I have any garment that's made out of wool and linen, I wear the garment, so I violate a negative prohibition in the Torah. Yet, we know that when it comes to the mitzvah of tcheles, the Torah gives us permission, gives us license to wear shatness. Okay, so a big part of the discussion is going to be that of shatness. Meaning, let's say I have a linen garment, and if I have a linen garment, I know that I have to put the blue strings on, and I know that those blue strings are made out of wool. So I am now successfully violating the issur of shatness by doing so. Okay, so what I mentioned already from the very beginning of the parak is that there is there's a drasha, what we call smuchin, meaning there are two psukim that are juxtaposed together in Parshas Kitzetzeh. One pasuk tells us the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the other pasuk tells us about the issur of shatness. And the fact that these two psukim are juxtaposed one next to the other teaches us that, generally speaking, we're not allowed to wear shatness, but for tzitzis, there's an override. We are allowed to override the tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, even though I'm violating the issur of shatness. Or, let's put it this way, there is no issur of shatness when I'm wearing tzitzis. Okay. That's those two points, meaning which garments, the materials of which the garments I'm making, and the issur of shatness. Those two points are the two points that are prominent in today's daf. We start in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're starting with the words Amar Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Mishmei Delevi, Chutei Tzemer, Pochim, Bishal Pishtan. So if I have Chutei Tzemer, the strings of Tzemer, so Pochim, Bishal Pishtan, I'll excuse it. I relieve it with pishtan, with linen. Ibai lehu, shel pishtan ma'ishiftu b'shel tzemer. Now the Gemara wants to know what about the other way around. So let's make sure that we're clear about what the Gemara is asking over here. Look, those two blue strings. Those are made out of wool. I told you that's not negotiable. That is part of the definition of tchelis. Tchelis is made out of wool. So when I have a beged and the beged is made out of wool, okay, so I have a beged and the beged's made out of wool, so the strings, the blue strings for sure are going to be made out of wool as well. Okay, now what about the white strings? Now the white strings could be made out of wool, it also could be made out of linen. So we start off with the Gemara's first premise, which is Chutei Tzemer Pochim B'Shel Pishtan. Rashi writes, Osam Shnei Chutim Shel Lavan. Okay, we're talking about the white strings. The blue strings is not up for discussion. Those are for sure made out of wool. Im shall semrahein pochim besadne shall pishtan. Im atchilas. Look. Let's imagine that you're putting on a linen garment. Okay? Nice linen garment. Okay? Not that many people buy linen nowadays. Right? It used to be popular. But in other words, let's say you buy a linen garment with four corners on it. You know that you have to put on two blue strings. And those two blue strings are made out of wool. Okay? So you know that you're already now in the process of
making
chutneys. But that's fine, though, because there's a mitzvah to put tzitzis in, that tzitzis override. So you know that. So as far as the white strings are concerned, so you can make them out of wool as well. You're already in the process of violating chutneys. So what's the big deal? So just that's not an issue at all. Rashi writes, "Mishal semrein pochim besidin shel pishtan imat chelas va'afagav deleka hashta min kenat tahavi shel semre kevin detchelas shnayim chutin hein detchelas amr ninu upotir b'shel pishtan dahat chelas kasav rachmana behedja lavan detsemre nami potir b'shel pishtan mishum lavan." So for sure, the white strings you can make out of linen. I'm sorry, you can make out of wool. That would be fine. Okay, that's the easy part. So ibayilahu shall pishtan mao sheyifter b'shel semre. But let's say like this. Let's go the other way. Let's now talk about a scenario where the baguette itself is made out of wool. The two blue strings that you're going to put on are also going to be made out of wool. So you know what you could do with your white strings? You could do now one of two things. You could make it out of wool, the two white strings, and then you'd be fine. Meaning then you wouldn't be even violating any issur whatsoever. You'd be successfully fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, and you wouldn't have a problem whatsoever. Or you can make those two white strings out of linen. Now, if you make those two white strings out of linen, now there's going to be an issue because now you're wearing something that's chutneis, and it didn't have to be chutneis. Okay. So you had a choice. So tzemer b'shal pishtim hu depato dekevin detchelas patro lavanami pater ava pishtim b'tzemer lo. So the Gemara over here goes over the two sides. On one hand, when my beged was made out of linen and I had to put wool strings on it anyway. Okay. Dilma came to Chsiv, lo sil bashan, et semu pishim yachtav, gidilm tasalcha, lo shan semer pipishim, lo shan pishim bitsemer. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, we have smuchin. We have the two psukim juxtaposed one to another, which means that I have an allowance at all times to make my tzitzis out of wool and linen. Even if I didn't need to make it out of wool and linen, I still have that right to make it out of wool and linen. So the Gemara is suggesting that even if my garment is made out of wool, the two blue strings are made out of wool, they have to be made out of wool. And I'm going to add now two linen strings, two white linen strings. The Gemara says, maybe that would be totally acceptable. Maybe that would be totally okay. Tashma. So here we go. Here we start the discussion. Meaning, the question is really simple. I mean, right? We shouldn't get that lost. The question is, what if I don't have to make my tzitzis out of chutneis? Right? Should I go with that option? Or no? Do I just simply not care whatsoever? I can always make my tzitzis out of chutneis, even if I didn't have to. Tashma, da amar rachba amar Rav Yehuda, chutei tzemer pochim b'shal pishtan. B'shal pishtan pochim b'shal tzemer. Chutei tzemer pochim u'pishtan pochim b'chol makom, ve'afilu b'shirayim. So the Gemara says that I could take strings of wool and linen and attach it even to silk. Meaning if I decide to wear a silk garment and I want to put wool and linen, what does that mean, wool and linen? Meaning my blue strings are made out of wool, my white strings are going to be made out of linen, that the Gemara says that's fine. Fine. And basically what he's saying is, I didn't need to make chutneis, right? If I'm wearing a silk garment, I didn't need to make chutneis. I could have made all four strings out of wool. The blue ones could have been made out of wool and the white ones could have been made out of wool. The fact that he says wool and linen, that's a clear indication that you don't have to worry whatsoever about the issur of chutneis.
Is the blue ones made out of wool because they're dyed? Is that the only reason?
No, the blue ones are made out of wool because we know by definition the word tcheles means blue wool. Meaning tcheles is not just a color. Tcheles is color and material. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Upligi de Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Ashirayim Peturim Min Atzitzis." Okay, and the Gemara points out this really takes us to another fundamental issue, which is if I'm wearing a silk garment, does it require tzitzis altogether? Meaning, if I'm wearing a garment that's not made out of wool and not made out of linen, does it require tzitzis altogether? So Rav Nachman says it doesn't. It does not require tzitzis, and so the Gemara now is going to challenge this premise of Rav Nachman. Now, as we're going to learn later on in just the course of a couple minutes, Rav Nachman's basically of the opinion there are only two materials that require tzitzis: wool and linen, and that's it. All other materials do not require tzitzis. Min haTorah.
Doesn't matter if it has four corners.
Right, even if it has four corners, it doesn't require tzitzis. So the Gemara now is going to challenge Rav Nachman. Eisvei, Rav Ala Rav Nachman. So the Gemara has a direct challenge to Rav Nachman. Ashirayim v'aklach v'astrikin, kulan chayevim et tzitzis. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says that we have silk and other materials, and I don't know what these other materials are, but whatever the case is, it's not wool, it's not linen. So the brisa says they're chayev and tzitzis. So Rav Nachman, what are you going to do with that brisa? So his answer to the brisa is a one-word answer: midrabanan. Okay, fine. I'm telling you that even though those begadim don't require tzitzis min haTorah, I'll concede rabbinically there's a mitzvah to put them on, but not min haTorah. So yahachiyem haSeifa. So the Gemara says if that's a pshat, go on to the next part of the brisa. V'kulon samo pishtim pochim bahen. So the Gemara says you can take strings made of wool and linen. Again, remember, the combination is very simple. Wool is going to be your two blue strings. Linen are going to be your two white strings. And you can take it and you can affix it to any of these begadim that we just talked about. Silk and the like. So the Gemara says, Yamar Bishlama Dar Raisa. So the Gemara says, it's much easier to argue that these begadim, these garments, are obligated min haTorah. Hainu d'mishtar b'hu kalayim. Because then I understand how I could put kalayim on them. But let's think about it from your perspective. You, Rav Nachman, say that these garments only require tzitzis on a derabanan level. You can violate the Isser of Shatnez, which is an Isser d'Araisa, to fulfill a mitzvah derabanan? Doesn't make sense. I understand how the Torah gives license to violate Shatnez, but that's when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis min haTorah. But you now are suggesting that it's only derabanan. So how can you violate the Isser of Shatnez? Heichi mishtari b'hu kalayim. Yeah. So how can you violate the Isser of kalayim? So again, Rav Nachman, in his defense, or the Gemara's defending, whichever way, ema o semer o pishtim. Okay. When it says semer o pishtim, it means either or. It does not mean both. Hachinami mistabra. In fact, the Gemara now is going to defend Rav Nachman, and the Gemara is going to say, yeah, that's logical. Diktani seifa, hein b'minan pochon, shelo b'minan ein pochon. So b'minan, if I use similar material, like material, it'll pater. And if I use dissimilar, it will not pater. Iyamar pishlama derabanan, hainu demiftara b'minan. So if you maintain that it's only a din derabanan, so then I can understand. Ela iyamar daraisa. So the Gemara says, but if it's a din daraisa, samro pishtim hu depater, how can I take wool or linen and pater? So the Gemara says, imishim halo irya. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't bother me whatsoever. The fact that I put strings on that are not made out of wool linen, that the Gemara says I can totally entertain. Kidirava, derava ramiksiv, rava, pose the following two psukim against one another. The pasuk, one pasuk says, hakanaf. Now remember, we talked about this in the beginning of the parak. The word hakanaf means from the corner. Now earlier when we quoted this pasuk, we talked about it's got to be a matching color, meaning the garment is typically white, the strings that come out of it are typically white, right? And that refers to the two white strings that come out of it. Over here, Rava makes another assumption, in that when it says hakanaf from the corner, it's actually referring to the material. It has to match the material. Min kanaf uktiv, and we have another pasuk that says semer upishtim, that your tzitzis need to be made out of wool and linen, and haketzad. So the Gemara says, how does that work? It works like this. Semer upishtim pocham bein b'minan ben shelo b'minan. Wool or linen, they're universal, right? They can go on any garment. Wool and linen are universal strings that can be attached to any garment. Sharminim, but if I don't use wool and linen, let's say I use other strings. Let's say I use cotton strings, or let's say I use silk strings. Beminan potrin, shelo beminan ain't potrin. So if I put it on the min on the same type, so cotton strings on a cotton garment, that's fine. Silk strings on a silk garment, that would be fine. Cotton strings on a silk garment, that would not be okay. So in other words, wool and linen are universal, so like universal donors, right? They can go on anything, they can go on any garment, and they'll satisfy the obligation of any garment. Or if I decide I want to use cotton strings work on cotton garments, Constrings do not work on wool garments, linen garments, or any other type of garments. Okay, and that's the opinion of Rava. What comes out over here, basically here's where we're at right now. This is a basic machlokas between the Amorayim. If I wear a garment outside of wool or linen, garment, not the strings. If I wear a garment that's outside of wool and linen, so is that obligated min haTorah in the mitzvah of tzitzis? Do I have to attach strings to a garment made of anything outside of wool and linen? So let's review. We have the opinion of Rava. Rava says yes, it is obligated min haTorah. And Rava then teaches us that if I want to attach wool and linen strings, I can attach it to any garment, because any garment is obligated min haTorah. If I want to attach, let's say I make a cotton garment and I want to attach cotton strings, that's fine. If I want to attach silk strings, that would not be fine. That's the opinion of Rava. Okay, so Rava says all garments are obligated min haTorah in tzitzis. And then there's the opinion of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says no. Only wool and linen are obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. All other garments are not obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. That's the opinion of Rav Nachman. Okay? And that means that according to Rav Nachman, if you're wearing a cotton garment, that's not obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. Not obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. He concedes that rabbinically it's obligated in tzitzis, but min haTorah, it's not obligated in tzitzis. Okay? So basic machlokas between Rava and Rav Nachman. Okay? How do the Rishonim feel? So the Shulchan Aruch falls like Rav Nachman. Correct. Shulchan Aruch says that wool and linen are the only two garments that are obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. All other garments are not obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. So, as a Sfard, if you were to wear a cotton garment, you would put tzitzis on it, but you wouldn't be fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you'd only be fulfilling a mitzvah d'rabbanan. If you wear wool and linen, so...
But that means you can't take shots.
According to
if you have cotton, you couldn't make it.
According to Rav Nachman, you cannot make a shadness. That's absolutely correct. That's why he had to go back to the Brisa, and the Brisa said you can put wool and linen on, and so he says no, it means wool or linen. Correct.
Robert,
absolutely correct.
The guys wear cotton.
So according to the Shulchan Aruch, they're both going to be obligated. Just it's going to be a difference of level, Deraisa versus Derabbanan. According to the Ramah, takes the Rava position. So according to the Ramah, you can wear all kinds of garments and it would still require tzitzis midrabbanan. So if you're wearing cotton baged, so if you're an Ashkenaz, so you're in good shape because the Ramah passes like Rava. And even if you're a Sfard, it's not...
Rava?
Huh? The Shulchan Aruch falls... The Ramah, I assume, goes like Rav Nachman as well. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Like
the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch goes like Rav Nachman.
The Ashkenazim follow Rava,
and that all garments require tzitzis min haTorah.
So they can't have silk.
Silk, cotton.
No, silk is strings also.
If only, but it has to be matching. Meaning, once the strings are not wool, or once the strings are not linen, so then you got to match. So if you're wearing cotton baggage, so it's got to be cotton strings, or you go to the universal. Universal is wool and linen. Wool and linen strings go to anything, according to Rava. Subsequently, that's what we do, meaning we wear a cotton baguette and then we put wool strings on it, and that would be fine.
But
it would work according to the Shulchan Aruch, but only on a rabbinic level, not min haTorah. So min haTorah, you have to, if you want to fulfill, meaning if you follow the Shulchan Aruch and you want to fulfill tzitzis min haTorah, let's say it like that, and you want to fulfill tzitzis on a Torah level, so you need to wear a wool or linen garment. Now, I keep saying wool and linen, so get ready, because on Daf Mem we're going to talk about linen. Meaning, I've so far, if for followers of Rav Nachman and the Shulchan Aruch, right, so you're basically reduced now to wool and linen if you want to fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah. Okay, on Daf Mem, which we're going to start in just a moment, right, we're going to take away half of your choices. Right, so that'll be a little tricky.
So,
okay.
All right, one quick update.
Yeah, please.
So a cotton baguette today,
we're going to...
Tzitzis, though, right?
Huh? It's still going to require tzitzis.
But wool?
That's what we do. We put wool tzitzis on. All your strings are made out of wool.
According to the Ashkenazim, you can't put cotton.
According to the Ashkenazim, you could put cotton on it, but, you know, just to make everything simple, the strings are made out of wool because we know wool is universal. So, but you're correct, absolutely correct. You could put cotton strings on it as well and tie cotton strings on the cotton garment.
That's how
and
you
deraisa?
And that would satisfy deraisa, yes. In other words, if we follow Rava, that would follow deraisa.
Yeah, because cool. Right. No, we're saying cotton
begged. Right, cotton begged wool sit and scissors would also be fulfilling a daraisa according to Rava and according to the Ashkenazim, according to the Shulchan Aruch, who follows Rav Nachman. It's only going to be a wool linen garment. Okay, here in the hot climate, it's hard. It's difficult to wear a wool garment, right? All right, but you listen to them. In Babel, they lived in hot climates. That's all they knew. I skipped a little bit. Rav Nachman kizatan de Rav Yishmael. And now the Gemara just takes Rav Nachman and associates it with Tan de Rav Yishmael. The Tan de Rav Yishmael. Hol v'nemer begadim b'torah stamu pralacha kasa be'echad mehem. Look, and when it comes to the wearing your tzitzit, it says al kanfei vigdehem. It says on your beged. You put it on the corner of your beged. But the Torah never specifies which material, what beged you're wearing. But Samuel Pishtim, Upralacha Hakasu Be'echad Mehem Samuel Pishtim. And then the Torah designates where two Shabbosim ago, where the Torah talks about Big Day Taras, right? Where which garments are susceptible to Tumat Saras, and the answer is wool and linen. And there the Torah is clear, the Torah specifies. So, af kol semer upishtim. So that means that beged by its definition is wool and linen. Now, of course you can make a beged out of another garment. But what is a legally recognized beged? When the Torah uses the word beged, it's specifically talking about wool and linen garments. So you see that Rav Nachman aligns himself with Tana Debei Rav Yishmael. Tana Debei Rav Yishmael also says it has to be wool and linen. Amar Abayi, v'hai Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, mafke mi'idach Tana Debei Rav Yishmael. Now, who does Tana Debei Rav Yishmael argue with? None other than Tana Debei Rav Yishmael. The Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, beged en li'ala beged. Stemmer minan l'rabot, stemmer gamalim, v'tsemmer arnavim, v'notz d'shal izim, v'aklach, v'asrikim, v'shirayim, minayin tamar lomar, o beged. This braisa says that beged refers to any garment. So you see that the two Tana Debei Rav Yishmael are arguing with one another. It ends off, the Gemara ends off this whole discussion with basically machlokas, meaning it's a debate whether or not non-linen, non-wool garments are required in tzitzis min haTorah. Again, machlokas amarim, Rav Nachman and Rava, seemingly a machlokas tanayim, machlokas tana debei Rav Yishmael versus tana debei Rav Yishmael. And so the Gemara ends off with machlokas, and the Shulchan Aruch falls like Rav Nachman, and the Ashkenazim, the Rama, fall like Rava. Okay. And that is the end of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and that is the end of garments. So according to Rav Nachman, it comes out now, right, for everyone who's following, that you really are limited to only two types of garments, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis Min haTorah, which is either wool or linen. And that's it. And those are your two choices. Tana Rabbanan. Mem Amud Aleph, we start now really a classic discussion. Sadin B'Tzitzis. Okay? What about... I have a garment made out of pishtan. Okay? A garment made out of linen. Nice garment made out of linen. So, Beit Shammai Potrin, U Beis Hillel Mechayvin, V'halacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel. Okay, so, Machlok is between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai says you're putter. Okay. On the simplest level, what that means is that you don't have to put tzitzis on it. On the simplest level. Okay, that's simply what it means. And Beis Hillel says that you're chayev. You're obligated to put tzitzis on it. Okay. Let's go through Rashi. The first Rashi on the page, not the first one. Second Rashi on the page, Beit Shammai Potrin, min tzitzis de lo darshinim smuchin, lemishrei kolayim betzitzis. So the way Rashi understands the opinion of Beit Shammai is that you don't have license. He doesn't darshin smuchin. The whole allowance to wear wool and linen and tie it together for your big day tzitzis, even though the Torah normally prohibits it, is based on smichus parshios. It's based on juxtaposition. And Rashi, in explanation of Beit Shammai, says he doesn't go there. He doesn't darshan. Climb betzitzis. Now, Rashi over here is going to deal with a really, really basic issue. Okay, so, according to Beit Shammai, let's see if we understand this. So, I'm going to now wear a linen garment. And I'm going to attach wool strings to it, which I have to because there's a mitzvah of tcheles, and the two blue strings are made out of wool, So Beit Shammai says, no, it's pater. It's exempt. So what Rashi now is going to deal with is, of all the languages to use to describe this person, right, we're going to use the language of exempt. We could use much stronger language to describe that person, in that it's aser, meaning exemption sounds like, you get a pass. What do you mean? It's much more than exempt, right? Shouldn't we be using language like aser? Like it's forbidden, strictly forbidden to do so? Because once you take wool and linen, you tie it together and you wear it, you're violating the aser shanes. So why is Beit Shammai using a language of pater? Shouldn't he be using the language of aser? So this is now what Rashi takes up with. Hai denaka lashon pater v'chiyuv v'lo naka lashon osun umatirin mishum ditzitzis chovehi lebeged v'afilo eino lovsha v'isra v'heter nami v'hatayim. Okay, so we come on to an issue which we're going to be discussing again a number of times throughout this fourth parak, and that is the obligation to put strings on your four-corner garment. Is that an obligation on you, or is that an obligation on the garment? Right? Is it a chovas gavra or a chovas mana? Is it an obligation upon you, or is it an obligation on the tzitzis itself? So, Rashi over here explains, the language of chayv and patur is indicative that's an obligation on the garment. Meaning, the garment, even if you're not wearing it, still needs tzitzis. Even if you're putting it in your closet, you're putting it in your drawer, still needs tzitzis. So the words chiv and patur really is going on the tzitzis.
But you're okay. Not wearing it.
Now, Michael, as you point out correctly, you're going to end up wearing it, and you'll be violating the isser if you don't have a license to wear wool and linen together. So Rashi says that's correct. And Rashi says, have a hatalia. Right, the two are connected. Meaning, if the tzitzis are not, if you can't pull wool strings on the linen garment, and the linen garment is pater, so if you end up wearing it, you're going to violate nisser. That's of course true. But in terms of the language that's being used by Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, they're just simply talking from the perspective of the garment itself. The garment itself is excused from having tzitzis. The kevin del Beit Shammai pater havalei kalayim. Now, once you no longer darshan smuchin, so now what you just did is you just violated the isser of kalayim. Ula beis hillel demechayv ula betzitzis the darshan and smuchin the ein kan mishum kalayim umutel alav sham. Okay, now according to beis hillel, he does darshan smuchin. He darshan the two pesukim that are side by side, which means that you have total allowance to put on wool strings on this linen garment. Now Rashi goes on to explain. Of course it's true according to Beit Shammai. Let's say you have a wool garment, right? And the two blue strings are going to be made out of wool. According to Beit Shammai, you don't have the right to put on a linen white strings, right? As we discussed in the very beginning of today's daf. So, really, their whole debate is not limited to a linen garment. Their debate also would be true even if the garment was made out of wool. Rashi says, all that's true. The psika le milsa de ein bo tzitzis below kalayim, she ikir mitzvah tzitzis tcheles ksiva bay u tcheles amar. It just happens to be that it's much easier to talk about a linen garment, because linen garment now, you're going to always face the question of putting on kalayim. Because by linen garment, you have to put on the blue strings, and the blue strings have to be made out of wool, because that's the very definition of tcheles. Tcheles means blue wool. So you're always going to face that issue. It's true, their whole debate would also manifest if there was a wool garment, and I decided to put white linen strings on the wool garment, but talking about the linen garment always comes on to an issue of kalayim. Okay, now, machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. Okay, very basic now. Do I put on wool strings on a linen garment? So Beit Shammai says it's excused, meaning you can't put it on, and Beis Hillel says you do put it on. V'halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. Okay, so, machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. So we know the rule, the halacha is going to follow like Beis Hillel. We're going to find, by the way, most of the time, right? There are exceptions. Six exceptions, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, we're going to find one of the six exceptions coming up shortly in terms of us falling like Beit Shammai in the world of tzitzis. But not on this issue, on a different issue. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. So the Gemara says like this. Okay. We've just established that the halacha follows like Beis Hillel. And if I'm wearing a linen garment, four-cornered linen garment, so A, people will look at me and say, that's weird. And B, well, you have to put tzitzis on it even though you violated the Isser. Now again, for us nowadays, so right, even though Tchelis is making a fantastic comeback, but if we don't know what Tchelis is, so none of this is relevant to us, because if we don't have the mitzvah of Tchelis, so then we're not fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa kitikuno, and so therefore we don't have the license therefore to violate the Isser of Shanes. Okay, but that's for us nowadays. But the Gemara now quotes Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says that kol hamatil tchelis biYerushalayim eino ela min hamatmiyin, that if you put tchelis on in Yerushalayim, you are matmiyin. A good English translation for the word matmiyin: questioned, suspect. It's strange. All right, not the best English translation, but it's just plain strange. Right, Rashi says, "Matmes kol aron sha'omer kalayim hu lavush ad beisil palig Rabbi Eliezer." And what comes out now is that if I have a linen garment in Yerushalayim and I put on tchelis and I put on blue fringes, which everyone knows is made out of wool, so people will say, "Wow, how is he doing that? That's a violation of shanes." So essentially, the Gemara is a little bit confused. After having just cited machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, after having just told us that the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, the Gemara makes a statement by Rabbi Eliezer that says you can't do it. Now, why the streets of Yerushalayim? I'm not sure. Meaning, it's true anywhere. But okay. But if you walk through the streets of Yerushalayim and you're wearing your blue strings on a linen garment, it's strange. And meaning, you shouldn't do it. So the Gemara says, "Ama Rabbi, imkain lama asrua lefi she'ein bikin." So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi. Why? Because people are not baki. People are not expert. Meaning, as Rashi explains. Now Rashi over here offers two explanations. We're going to go with Rashi's first explanation. Lefi she'ein bikin lidrosh smuchin decline betzitzis. Because look, I see my friend walking in the streets of Yerushalayim, and I know that's a linen garment, right? It's nice and it's. It's what's it called? Shining?
Huh?
So I'm going to see my friend, and my friend is wearing a linen garment, and I'm going to see that it has blue strings, and I, of course, know that blue string is made out of wool. And I'm going to realize, wait a second, my friend over there is wearing shanes. And Rashi goes on to explain. So, Lefisha and Bikin Lejos Mochin, the climate system's motor, V'asu Lemishre, climb V'chol Makom. And I'm going to see him wearing shatnez, and I'm going to say, oh, look at that. Shatnez is permissible. Who knew? I'm going to stop having my suits checked. I'm going to stop, right? Not only that, I'm going to actually wear woolen linen together. Right? I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to look for a woolen linen suit. Right? V'i kasha kevin de medaraisa chayev heichimatsu rabban la'akor davar min haTorah, before I got into this next part of Rashi. Right? So everyone understand the issue is, if I start wearing kalayim, everyone's going to start wearing kalayim. Now, I'm wearing kalayim because mitzvah tzitzis. Torah gives me license by the mitzvah tzitzis to put wool and linen together. But the people watching me are not that educated. They simply don't know. Right? They haven't gotten to today's daf. And they don't know that that's a special license by tzitzis and it doesn't apply by any other garment. So the Gemara says, so therefore when I wear a four-cornered linen garment, I can't put tzitzis on it because I'm just going to simply confuse people and I'm going to make everyone believe that klaim is okay, that woolen is okay. So now, what did the rabbis just do? They just uprooted a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Right? So, e-kasha, so that's next part of Rashi. So maybe the following bothers you. Kevin de medaraisa chayev, heichimatsu rabban lakor davar min ha-Torah lemifter, emitzitzis, mishum gzera. So Rashi here asks the basic question. How can the rabbis do that? But we all know the answer. Okay? Passively they can do it. If they can tell you not to fulfill a mitzvah in the Torah, and all you have to do with compliance is just simply sit there and not do anything, they have the right to do that. So if I have a garment made out of linen and it has four corners on it, so they can tell you passively, don't put tzitzit on it. Essentially, I guess what they're also telling you is don't wear it as well. Okay, which takes us to a new level of the discussion, meaning when the Gemara says that you don't put tzitzit on it, does that mean don't put wool tzitzit on it, but you put linen tzitzit on it, right? That takes us to another level of the discussion, which for now we're going to bypass. Just simply deal with the basics of the issue.
Is this the same category as Shofar Shabbat?
Sure, same as Shofar Shabbat, same as Megillah Shabbat. Right? Excellent. Same exact category. So Amar Rabbi Imkin Lama Surlafishem Bikin. So Amale Rava Bar Rav Khan Larava Ulirma Bayasar Vinafkul Shukim. So now is a great discussion coming up in the Gemara now. Now the Gemara is basically trying to propose, if it's an issue of you're gonna confuse people, so why don't we work on our education system? Why don't we try to broadcast to the public at large that it's okay? That if I'm wearing a linen garment and I want to put wool tzitzit on it, then that's fine. Meaning, I know that chatneys, but in the world of tzitzit, it's fine.
But really, the only way you would know is wool is if it's tchilas.
Right, correct.
Really,
meaning,
really, the only way you would know.
The whites themselves, absolutely correct. The white.
Why is this such a big deal that they're forcing it on linen? Why is there?
It's not a question of forcing it on linen. It's just a question of it's linens. Linen is a garment, and it's obligated in the midst of tzitzit. So, and according to Rav Nachman, you only have two garments that you can use, two materials that you can use, either wool and linen.
Yeah.
So now you just took away 50% of the of your option.
Would you rather wear a linen
instead of
linen?
Linen's nicer. It's light. It's a nice material. So here the Gemara now is going to talk about. It's great. Talk about how can we broadcast the word. So ulirmu be asar v'nifke l'shuka umifarsam alamilsa. So how about this? Have 10 people wear the garments and go out and have the and publicize that it's okay. So the Gemara says kol shekein demasmu elihu. So the Gemara says what? You're going to have 10 people go out onto the streets wearing wool and linen together. If your whole concern was people are going to get confused, people now are just simply going to get more confused. Because all you're doing now is watching people walking the streets of Jerusalem wearing a linen garment with wool strings attached to it, and I know it's wool because it's made out of blue, and oh, okay, fine, Chinese is okay. So the Gemara says that's not going to be a good educational system. V'lidrahu bepirka. So the Gemara says, okay, so start darshaning. Meaning, if the issue over here is lack of education, so start educating. Go out there and start darshaning. Gzera mishum kala ila. So now, the Gemara is going to take a new track. Meaning, we're going to try to better understand this issue of why in Yerushalayim you can't do it. You can't wear a wool garment on a linen fabric. So the Gemara starts off now introducing us, the first time in the Perek, we're introduced to the issue of Kala Ilan. There was a counterfeit. There was a counterfeit blue that was very popular in the city of Yerushalayim, apparently beyond the city of Yerushalayim as well, and it's called Kala Ilan. Okay, the word itself, I don't know what the word means, but it was basically a color that pretty much represented Tchelis, but it's not Tchelis. Later in the Perek, we're going to learn Tchelis is not just a color, but it has to be produced from a particular animal. Okay, ask me what that animal is. No, don't ask me.
What is that?
Okay, it is a chilazon, correct. And then you're going to ask me what the chilazon is, and then, of course, that's pretty much where I end. Meaning, I know, it's, you know, people who are more informed than me will tell you what the chilazon is, but it has to come from a certain animal. The Kala Ilan color is a dye which in color, in hue, looks pretty much like tchelas, but it's not tchelas because it's not produced by the chilazon. So the Gemara says we're worried about counterfeit. And the Kala Ilan is very close to color of the chilazon dye, of the tchelas dye. And here's now what you're going to do. Watch. You're going to take wool, not blue, and you're going to dye it. And if you're given the counterfeit Kala Ilan, and then you attach it to your sudden to your linen garment, you've now done one but not two things. A, you have successfully violated the Isser of Shatnez, but B, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis. Oh, that's no good. The only time that you can violate shatnez is only if I fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. And I only fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis if I have the real McCoy. And Kala Elon is not the real McCoy. So the Gemara says, V'lo yehe ela lavan. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's just, let's go with this. So your issue is that it's not real tchelas, it's fake tchelas. It's a counterfeit. So the Gemara says, you know what? Lo yehe ela lavan. So you know what? Instead of saying that it's not, it's fine, it's not tchelas. Can't be worse than white. Those two counterfeit strings that you just dyed, and you thought you dyed it tchelas, and it's really not tchelas, it's kala ilan. Okay, but it can't be worse than white. So the Gemara says, if it can't be worse than white, so what? Basically what you have now is you have four strings, two of them blue and two of them are white, and the blue ones are not real, so let's call them white as well. So what? So the Gemara says, Kevin de Efsha Bemin, so I'm sorry, V'lo Yehi El Alavan, Kevin de Efsha Beminan. So, Lo Kedere Shlakish. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't work. The Amar Shlakish called Makam Shatam, Mose, Ase V'lo Sase, Im Atayachola Kayim Shneem Mutav, V'im Lav Yavo Ase, V'yitche Es Lo Sase. So the Gemara says, no, it does not work. Why? Because of the rule of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish teaches us, and we saw this in the very beginning of Yevamos. We have a principle of Ase being Doch Los Ase. Our positive commandment of Tzitz is overriding the negative prohibition of Kalayim. And that's basically what we're dealing with over here. Reish Lakish says, that's only when it's E-F-Shar L'Kayim Shneim. That's only if I cannot fulfill both. But if I can fulfill both, so the Gemara, so Reish Lakish says so, you now have an obligation to fulfill both. So in other words, since on my linen garment, I could attach, instead of using tchelas blue, I use kala ilan. And the Gemara says, well, it's no different than white. No, because once now I'm in the world of white, so now I have options. I could use wool or I could use linen. And once I have options, and once I could use linen, and not have to violate the Isser of Shatnez, so that's preferable.
So you could use linen strings,
free of tzitzit. So I would, I should use linen strings. Sure. Correct, according to Reish Lakish. Correct. So the Gemara says, it is bad, meaning if it's not blue, and it's not real tchelas, and it's just kala ilan, so then I shouldn't be using it. And the Gemara's point of, well, it's no different than white. No, it is different. Because now I'm in the world of white, so I should be using linen. I shouldn't be using wool. So the Gemara says, v'liv decay. So the Gemara says, okay. There happens to be a test, right? There's a litmus test. Later on in the Masechta, in this parak, we're going to learn exactly what the litmus test was. But if you want to know whether it's real tchelas or it's just kala ilan, it's counterfeit, so the Gemara says, why don't you give it the litmus test? So the Gemara says, Alexer Mishum Te'ima. Okay, so the Gemara finally concedes. All right, you're right. Tchelas versus Kala Ilan, that's not the issue. We're back really to square one. In Yerushalayim, you walk out with a linen garment and you put wool strings on it, you're Eino Ela Min HaMatmiyin. The Gemara's terminology is that's just not, it's not recommended behavior. That's strange, you're strange. Okay? And we want to know why. Why not? So we've now been trying to suggest, well, maybe you'll confuse people about shatnez. That's not really it. Well, maybe you're going to, instead of having tchelas, you're going to have to counterfeit kala ilan. The Gemara says, that's not really it, because as we're going to learn later on, there is a litmus test, there's a way to test it out. So the Gemara says, okay, elegzera mishum ti'imo. So the Gemara says, well, look, when the dyers die, the first thing they do is they make a sample amount. That's what's called te'ima. Te'ima literally means taste it. It means try it out. So what? So the Gemara says, Rashi explains, I should say, Pamim sheyimkru l'tcheles shel nisayon, shenitzva l'nasus bo esayora. Okay? Or they have a pot, right, with the blue cooking in the pot, and they're going to put the wool in. So the first thing they want to do is they want to test it out to see if it's going to take. So they drop in a little bit of wool first, but that's just a nisayon. Just a tester. Okay. We're going to learn later on, Rashi quotes the Gemara later on, the Amrin Lakaman, time of Psula, Vaha Mils, I'm sorry, time of Psula, Rashi doesn't say why. Okay? Essentially, what the issue is, the Gemara later on will tell us, it's an issue of lishma. Okay? That when I dye my wool strings, I have to do it l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. And when I did that sample, when the dyer did his sample, he wasn't interested in lishma. He just wanted to know, is it going to take? And he'll take that sample, which is not lishma, he'll pass it off as tcheles, because it really is tcheles. It's missing a lishma, and you can't see the lishma. Lishma is something that you have a mindset of when you make it. It's not something that you can see. He'll sell it to an unsuspecting customer, and that unsuspecting customer is going to buy non-lishma tcheles. Attach it to his linen garment, and that's the issue.
I mean, that could also be not
right,
not
and
kilayim. It could be just a regular.
And not only that, but also, I mean, well, if you think about the percentages of how much, you know, compared to the actual lishma tchelis that's being sold, this is a small portion. Okay, all these are good points. So Alexander Mishum Teima v'lichtevei a diska. So the Gemara says, okay, so if the whole issue over here is lishma and the requirement of lishma, so we want to know that we're buying kosher food. So what we do is we look for a kosher sign. Right. So if you want to know if you're buying kosher tcheles, so why don't you look for the kosher sign? Meaning, simply attach some sort of letter indicating that this tcheles is in fact good tcheles. Right, Rashi, on the bottom Rashi on the page, L'shloch ba'osam ha'makom sh'tzovim ben tcheles ha'v'yodim sh'ati'im ha'psula. Right, and notify the dyers and tell them, you know, that little sample, you can't sell that little sample that you made, the first sample. And look, we're going to assume that they're reliable people, maybe not knowledgeable, but certainly reliable. And once you simply tell them through a letter, through a simple letter form, and explain to them that you can't use that first sample that you tested the pot with, the dye with, so then they'll be fine. And Rashi goes on to write. And here, why did the Gemara turn to letter writing? What happened to the darshaning? So Rashi writes, because darshaning only helps people that are in town, that are in city, and attend public drashas, but that doesn't help everybody. So over here we go with letter writing. Okay? So write them letters. So the Gemara says, so Rava says, yeah, rely on letter writing, it's fine. So the Gemara says, letter writing is very effective. We use letter writing for chametz on Pesach, meaning, right, what does that mean? The exile needs to know that we decided to add another Adar this year. Well, nowadays our calendar is fixed, so we all know that we've added another Adar this year, this past year. And right, and we know now that this month that we just entered, and today, right, we know that past 12 o'clock, and I know 2 hours earlier, but right, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Right, we know it's this month because, well, our calendar is fixed. But before the calendar was fixed, they know because letters were sent out to everywhere saying, this month is not the month of Nisan, this month is your second Adar. Good. So the Gemara says, "Va'pesach v'yom Kippurim dekar samchinan adiska." So there we rely on letters. Hacha daaseh b'alma. Here it's just an asay, and the terminology of the Gemara is a little bit strange. It should say it's not the asay is not the issue. It's the low sat and say of shatnez, which is really the issue. But still, the aseh b'alma lo kol shekain el amarav hamil sa amri v'idmar b'marav mishum derabbi zera kavasi shema yikare sadina b'soch gimel. Okay, so the Gemara finally concedes. Okay, that's not it as well. And we'll conclude over here today with this last point of the Gemara. Okay, it's one full question and answer. Why can I not put on tzitzis on my linen garment in Yerushalayim? Even though we've just said the halachas like Beis Hillel. Even though that you have every right to put a wool tzitzis on a linen garment. In Yerushalayim, they says if you do so, you're enom enamatmi. So it is not. We basically, by process of elimination, ruled out the issue of people are going to think that shatnez is okay. And people are going to get the counterfeit, the forfeit color of kala ilan instead of getting the real tchelas. And the issue of, well, people maybe selling their sample dyes and not the real dye. None of those are the issue. So the Gemara says, finally, what is the issue? So they say the issue is, and they quote this in the name of Rabbi Zeira, is that what may happen is that your sudden may flay a little bit at the bottom, and what happens is v'yitfarenu, you'll stitch it up, and what's going to end up happening is those little strings that are hanging out the bottom, you say to yourself, you know, those would make great tzitzis. V'hatorah amra tasev lo mina asui, and we know that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, there's a requirement of first making the garment, then making the tzitzis. Here the tzitzis are there already. That's the problem of tasev lo mina asui. And Shara Rabbi Zera l'sadine.
The regular tzitzis also.
But if it does, it's bad. It's not the end of the world. Here by linen, it's a bigger problem because shanis. Because you're wearing shanis. Meaning once it's tasev lo mina asui, so now you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, and worse over is that you're violating the issur of shanis. And Rabbi Zera would actually untie shar l'sadine, meaning if he would have a linen garment, so the first thing he would do is he would untie it, because he did not want to wear it. Okay. That is answer number one, and we'll stop here today. Okay, so with answer number one, we're basically now at the point where why in Yerushalayim was a minhag not to put a wool strings on linen garments? So answer number one is our concern of tasev lo mina asui, and by doing so, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis, and worse over, you're violating the issur of shatnez on that issue, on that beged. Okay? That's answer number one. Tomorrow we're going to deal with another answer as well.
Well, thank you.